This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hello there, this is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast, very best bits of today's show. It's Friday, the 22nd of April, and here's what we've got for you. Coming up, headline interview with the boss of Diwa, His Excellency Saeed Mohammed Al-Tayer. We're also going to hear from Shadi Shah Al-Borno of Emirates MBD and Craig Stevens of Dubai Cars. But the big theme today, and they all come together, is inflation and the antidote for inflation conventionally, which is interest rate hikes. So we're going to kick off by hearing from the head of the Fed, Jay Powell, and what he plans to do with interest rates. Hint, they're going up.
Let's turn our attention to some of the big talkers of the day. We are casting our eyes over to the United States at the moment. Some decision-making taking place there within the last 24 hours that has a little bit of a ripple effect. The Fed rate hikes, Deanie.
Yeah, this is a big one, isn't it? So many messages coming in on this. Please keep them coming. The inflation topic. So Jay Powell, the head of the Fed, speaking yesterday. It's the spring meetings of the IMF and the World Bank in Washington. Powerhouse panel, Jay Powell, Christine Lagarde, head of the European Central Bank, and her successor at the IMF, Kristalina Georgieva, all on the same panel. And Jay Powell obviously was asked about inflation rampant in the United States at the moment, 7-8%, highest in 40 years. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to hike rates? And he gave the strongest hint yet. I mean, we all know he is going to raise rates, but it will be a 50 basis point hike next month, so half of 1%, rather than a 25 basis point hike or quarter of 1%.
It is appropriate, in my view, to be moving a little more quickly. And I also think there's something in the idea of front-end loading whatever accommodation one thinks is appropriate. So that does point,
yes.
That points
there
in the direction of 50 basis points being on the table. Certainly, we make these decisions at the meeting, and we'll make them meeting by meeting, but I would say that 50 basis points will be on the table for the May meeting.
And on the table throughout the rest of the year and 2023 as well. And of course, given the peg to the dirham and the dollar, that means our interest rates are going to rise as well. Your repayments on your home loan, your car loan, your corporate loan are going to rise if it's a floating rate. However, what he did say was he's very keen not to raise rates too far and too fast as to cause a recession.
You asked about a soft landing. Basically, that's our goal. Our goal is to get demand, use our tools to get demand and supply back in sync so that inflation moves down and do so without a slowdown that amounts to a recession. That's our goal. And I don't think you'll hear anyone at the Fed say that that's going to be straightforward or easy. It's going to be very challenging. We're going to do our very best to accomplish that.
Speaking to Shadi Al-Borno of Emirates NBD, he's an economist there, to answer some of your questions. But as Suresh has written, and lots of people have, and he says this on the inflation topic, I am also a sufferer. I've tried to book air tickets. He wants to go to Chennai in summer this year for July 2020. To my surprise, the cost had doubled to 10,000 dirhams for a family of four. A year ago, it was about 5,000 or 6,000 dirhams for a family of four. Suresh, we hear you and we feel your pain. Tom, the Urquhart family, has had something similar flying west this summer, hasn't it?
Indeed, yeah. Just booking in advance for summer getaways and things like that. Prices significantly higher. And what do? You can play the market. You know, as I was saying to you yesterday, you can wait. But then if you've got dates guaranteed and you've got to be in the UK at a certain time, traditionally the answer has always been book early, because you'll get the better deal. That seems to be turned on its head at the moment. It's if you don't need to book just yet, then just wait, because hopefully the airlines get more planes in the sky, etc., and things will come down. I know that we sort of disagree a little bit on this one. You think that prices will come down. I was talking to a bunch of guys yesterday in various industries, and they're sort of common theory is that prices won't come down. I mean, why do you bring the price of certain commodities down when they are at a certain rate? If you've got people paying that, you stick with it to a certain degree.
And all of us will. Yeah, we're all in business here in Dubai. Whether you're selling paint or radio adverts or airline tickets, we all want to charge as much as we can, don't we? We want to get paid as much as we can. We'll see what happens on that one.
So inflation is biting at the moment. A lot of people are tightening their belts. A lot of people dreaming of the smell of a brand new car. Remember that one, Rich? You know?
Oh, the new leather. The new leather.
Yeah.
And the thud of the door. Dum, doosh,
you know? Yeah. And just the little... I was talking about putting the key in, the turnover and things like that, but obviously with new hybrids, etc., you don't even have that, do you?
I don't have a hybrid car. You don't. But someone in the studio does.
What's it like?
It's me, yes.
What's it like? Is it lovely? Does it smell nice?
It still has that new car smell. I've only had it 3 days.
Yeah.
How did you get the only new car in the country?
It was by accident, because my car was quite old, so I was looking for a trade-in, and apparently they had one sitting in the port because the person that originally ordered it did change their mind and didn't want it anymore, and it was the only hybrid of that said car available in the country. So,
Could you tell us what you've called it?
Oh, a Colossus. Yeah. Because he's titanium. Yeah. Do you not name your vehicles?
I don't.
No?
I just shout at them when they're not performing.
Right, no. But if you give it a name, it has more of a... You have more of a relationship with your car.
Listen,
He...
He.
Okay. Yeah. I was actually told off saying that they're supposed to be female, and I was like, well, not in my book. So, yeah.
Be they?
Didn't know that was a rule. Yeah.
How do you identify Serena's car?
Yes.
Let's turn our attention to, let's not. It is Friday, isn't it?
It is. It's the Friday quiz where we recap all the main stories from the week. Just a bit of fun, ending off the week, heading into the weekend. You have your buzzers. Now, Tom, can we hear your buzzer, please?
This is Tom's buzzer. Dog legs this morning.
Now, Brandy is not here, but she still gets a buzzer.
It is.
They've got that soft bit in the middle.
Now, Rich and Richard's buzzer, please.
Dini, this is yours.
We'll have to do with 3 swimming pools.
Now, because Richard technically cannot, the way the studio's set up, he can't press the buzzer. So instead of the sheep, which really is Tom's.
Tom owns the sheep.
And your hand as well. I thought you might like the dinger.
You can press the ding.
And can I just say...
Can I ding the dinger with my green podcast?
It works.
Ow.
Also, little bit of a surprise for you guys. I have actually secured a little prize for today's quiz. So you are playing for something and, you know, pretty big budget. All right. So
that's what you could have won.
Are you ready?
Kelly's car keys are in the middle of the table.
Glasses. Right. Question number one. Buzzers at the ready. A new court has been set up to hear cases regarding inheritance. Can you name the emirate it's been set up in? Richard?
Dubai.
Yes, that is correct. Question number two.
1 of 7.
There has been major changes to the UAE visa system. Name the month where they will come into...
Dog legs this morning.
Tom. Name the month.
September.
Yes, well done. Question number three. Sticking with the visa changes and updates... The UAE cabinet raised the age limit for sponsoring children from 18 to... Richard?
Depressingly, 25.
Well done.
We're stuck with them for years. Yeah.
But golden visas, it doesn't matter how old your child is.
Don't tell them that. Right. Don't let them get a whiff of that.
Question number four. Can you name the type of visa where there are no restrictions on how long you can remain outside of the UAE for? Richard?
Visa Platinum. With Skyward's benefits.
No.
Dog legs this morning.
Tom.
Mission?
No. What? Okay, it's
tourist visa.
It's a colour. It's a colour.
Oh. Dog legs this morning. Green.
No. Oh, the other one. The other one.
Green and gold. Manchester United, Newton Heath.
Oh,
right. I was looking for golden visa, right? I know, but he didn't buzz in, so he doesn't get it. Question number five. A documentary charting Dubai's fight against the pandemic is set to hit our screens next month.
Yeah.
It is called COVID-19 Dubai and has been produced by Dubai Media Office and which channel?
Dog legs this morning.
Tom.
Discovery.
Yes. Now, you're both tied at 2 and you'll be able to watch it on Discovery on the 7th and 14th of May. Question six. We had another special numbers auction in Abu Dhabi. They raised 111 million dirhams for the 1 billion meals campaign. Can you tell me what number plate went for 23.3 million dirhams? It's a single digit. Richard.
One.
Nope, but you're close.
Dog legs this morning. By the powers available to me, two.
Yes, well done. Okay, you are now on
process
Tom's
of elimination.
Tom's on three, Richard's on two. All right, question number seven.
How many questions are there?
How is that possible? Because one of them, there was...
Golden visa, you didn't get
no
it.
No one got it.
Right, question number seven. Eid al-Fitr holidays have been announced for the federal government.
Shawwal three.
No, but keep listening. Right. For the federal government workers and tentatively for the private sector. The first day of Eid will fall on the 29th day of Ramadan, which falls on which, Richard?
Saturday, 30th of October. Well, April.
You are so close there. All right. Now, you are tied. I do have a tiebreaker question, right?
Okay.
The UAE Central Bank released a new 50 dirham note. They've just announced there will be two more notes with the new polymer feel going into circulation. Can you name the two?
Dog legs this morning.
Tom.
Bosh. Give me the prize. Ring that number. Hello, Dad. I just won a million. It's the 5 dirham note and the 10 dirham note.
Well done. This was so close. It came down to a tiebreaker. Well done.
He shoots, he scores.
Okay, would you like your prize?
Yes, please.
Right, okay. So no expense was spared. I thought to keep you busy over the weekend, you could have fun with this little jigsaw of a unicorn.
That's
yeah?
Very kind.
Right.
Thank you.
So there, you can have a play of that.
If you're watching on Dubai One Television, Serena Kelly has literally just handed Tom Urquhart a unicorn jigsaw puzzle.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Right, let's talk now to one of the busiest people in Dubai over the past few weeks. His Excellency Sayed Mohammed Altai is the Managing Director and CEO of Diwa Dubai Electricity and Water, the company that, of course, listed on the stock market just last week. And he joins us now live on the line. Your Excellency, a very good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Richard.
So 15% higher than the IPO price and the stock market debut last week. It looks like it's been a success, the IPO of Diwa. What's your take on this?
Yeah, this is the largest regional IPO in 2022 by size. The IPO was based on strong demand from investors, leading to upsizing of the IPO from 6.5% to 18%. And the IPO, you know, that had encouraging initial returns to investors who invested in stocks. Diwa IPO has enhanced liquidity in the market and activated Dubai financial market.
Okay, so it is the biggest in the region since Saudi Aramco, which was a blockbuster IPO, one of the biggest in the world, depending on which metrics you use. How has it been as the managing director and CEO of Diwa and your team at Diwa managing, first of all, the IPO process and then in the last few days since you've been a listed company? Because there's been such a spotlight on you, sir, hasn't there?
Yeah. I mean, Dubai Electricity and Water Authority, you know, we raise about 22.3 billion dirham, nearly about 6.1 billion. After pricing its initial public offering at the top of the range in the Gulf, biggest IPO since Saudi Aramco, as I mentioned earlier. And the demand for Diwa IPO has been strong, promoting it to first raise the size of the institutional offer and then boosting the retail portion by almost three times, 18%, in the face of the huge demand.
So I guess it's interesting that the IPO was such a big event, but it has now passed. You are a listed company. So tell me about your expansion plans. We've got so many questions coming in about your expansion plans, including conventional electricity and other things as well, like renewable, sustainable energy.
Correct. You know, Diwa plans to spend 40 billion dirham on CapEx in the next 5 years. Mainly for enhancing renewable generation capacity. About 16 billion will be spent to strengthen and expand electricity and water transmission and distribution networks. about 12 billion will be spent for completing ongoing IPP projects, example, Hassan Power, Noor Energy, CSP project, Shu'a 3 solar plant, and others. And also, regarding the water also, we have the reverse osmosis based on IWP plant. And also, our subsidiary, Empower, is planning to spend around $3 billion mainly to expand district cooling capacity and network to cater for continuing demand growth for cooling services. Remaining expenditure is mainly to complete various ongoing projects, including deploying smart system and infrastructure.
Can I ask you a little bit about some of the particularly renewable energy projects as part of that expansion plan? You mentioned some of them there, things like the CSP, concentrated solar power. Lots of questions coming in this morning about your expansion, particularly into renewables, Your Excellency.
Yes. You know, we have two types of renewable. We have the CSP plant where we can actually store power for up to 15 hours. And we have also the latest plant, PV, with the most efficient plant. We have more than 28% efficiency in this plant. And this plant actually in the largest single site in Mohammed bin Rashid Solar Park.
Okay, let's talk about international investors. Clearly, local investors are very important on the Dubai financial market. That's why you're talking to a local radio show like Dubai Y and Dubai One Television. But what about reaching out to international investors?
Yeah, I mean, the IPO was a validation of DEWA's successful business model. It has elevated DEWA's international profile and attracted investment from the international community, potential contribution of DEWA to DFM international indices. And also the demand was so high, actually, and that the IPO size had to be tripled. Yet the IPO was oversubscribed by 35 times.
Which was an incredible achievement. And I know my colleague Brandy Scott, co-host of The Business Breakfast, was one of the people who subscribed to that IPO. A couple of final questions. Can we talk about things like forward integration? I know you're looking at things like water bottling. You're looking at desalination as well.
Correct. DEWA has invested in and leveraged potential opportunity to diversity into other areas connected to its core business, the establishment and rapid growth of My Dubai Bottle Drinking Water Company is a good example of this policy. Similarly, DEWA has successfully leveraged in its fiber optic networks assets and smart technology expertise to establish a successful data hub, which is recognized as one of the leading digital solution providers.
Finally, Your Excellency, it's been an incredibly busy time for you and the team over the past few weeks, months as well. We're heading towards the final few days of the holy month of Ramadan and then, of course, the Eid al-Fitr break. You and the team must need a bit of a break, Your Excellency, as well.
Sure. Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
Shukran jazeelan, His Excellency Saeed Mohammed Al-Tayeb, Managing Director and CEO of DEWA.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-sized Business Breakfast.
What does all this inflation and rising interest rates mean for us here in the UAE? Going to get the thoughts of Shadi from Emirates NBD in a second. First of all, let's remind ourselves what Jay Powell had to say yesterday, Jerome Powell, head of the Fed of the United States. It is Washington week for the IMF and the World Bank. He was on a powerhouse panel with Kristalina Georgieva of the IMF and Christine Lagarde of the European Central Bank. And he gave this warning that next month interest rates are going up.
It is appropriate, in my view, to be moving a little more quickly. And I also think there's something in the idea of front-end loading whatever accommodation one thinks is appropriate. So that does
close to
point,
yes.
That points
there
in the direction of 50 basis points being on the table. Certainly. We make these decisions at the meeting, and we'll make them meeting by meeting. But I would say that 50 basis points will be on the table for the May meeting.
Shadi Shah El-Bono, a senior director of group research at Emirates NBD. I know you were following this one closely. What did you make of it?
I mean, it's no surprise, Richard. I mean, if we keep in mind that the Fed had expected inflation to ease with outside help, which was effectively the reopening of the economy from the pandemic, allowing goods to flow around back to normal. But instead, you had new lockdowns in China, you had the war in Ukraine, and that is threatening a new round of bottlenecks. You have higher energy costs and more uncertainty in the global economy. So what actually Powell did point out to additionally is that the Fed no longer expects any outside help. Rather, they will count on tighter monetary policy to curb demand for goods and services and to prompt businesses to reduce demand for workers. One thing he did term and note out that the job market was unsustainably hot. So no surprise in the shift in Fed stance for a more steep path to raising rates this year.
So Khaled has written in saying, I run a food import-export business based out of Sharjah, and I'm worried what these rising interest rates mean for my trade finance costs over the next year or two. What can you say to Khaled about that?
I mean, there are challenges there, and rising interest rates will be a headwind to a lot of different sectors in the UAE. One thing we do need to keep in mind, Richard, is that we are going from an environment of extremely low rates. So the Fed is targeting 2.5% by the end of the year. But it is what happens after 2023 in terms of Fed rate hikes. Are they able to keep a lid on inflation or not? Or would that push the Fed further in its rate hike path? Other factors, of course, impact inflation and the tightness in global supplies. We're seeing significant supply bottlenecks of ships moving into and out of China, and that's disrupting a global supply chain. So that is adding pressures to the whole wide spectrum of goods we import into the UAE, whether it's foods, whether it's other goods that we get in. So certainly inflation will be one of the headwinds that every business in the UAE needs to be aware of.
What's your number for inflation for the UAE this year, Shadi, and maybe even next year at Emirates NBD? Do you have those numbers to hand by any chance?
One thing we need to keep in mind, Richard, about inflation numbers in the UAE, historically, inflation numbers have lagged a bit, and that has gone back to the way we compile the inflation data in the UAE. So there has been a lag between the translation in housing prices, for example, which is the largest component of the inflation basket feeding into the headline inflation figure. So that lag sometimes stretches up to a year. So I don't think we will see a significant pickup in headline inflation readings in the UAE, but certain components of the basket, if we look at the recent inflation numbers, have been picking up those inflationary pressures, particularly things like transport costs. And I believe food prices within the inflation basket numbers would start to tick up slightly over the year. But that being said, we do not expect inflation to pick up significantly above the forecasted range of 1.5 to 2% this year, at least at a reading level. But some elements will be higher. And I think housing is a very important element, Richard, over here. We did see a significant pickup in housing last year in 2021. Further supply is coming in, and I think this housing market continues to be driven by supply-demand dynamics, and those are actually healthy drivers of the housing market and have muted pressures where those have picked up.
Finally, a note of optimism potentially, just 30 seconds on this. Is there an optimistic case that says this inflation will ease in a year or two? We will get more microchips out of Shenzhen. We will get more sunflower oil from some other producers outside of Ukraine in the next 6 to 12 or 18 months or so. 30 seconds on that.
We can't say never, Richard. I mean, it all depends on the global geopolitical backdrop at the moment, and that remains extremely fluid. You add on to that the picture of COVID-19 outbreaks in China, and that makes the job of any economist extremely difficult. Forecasting in this environment becomes extremely challenging. But all I would say is, at some point, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, so we should head there.
Shadi, always great talking to you. Appreciate your time this morning. Ramadan Kareem, Shukran Jazeera, and that's the voice of Shadi El Bono. He is the director, senior director of group research at Emirates NBD.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
One of the reasons we want to talk all things cars is because there's a trail going on the radio at the moment. You might have heard it. It's about our show, which is every other Saturday on Dubai 103.8. Demo Reid hosts Motormania. One of the trails that you might here in between Richard and I chatting is about the sort of prevailing circumstances at traders at the moment. Ordinarily, Ramadan, you are bombarded with car deals during Ramadan, but that ain't the case this year, or certainly wasn't the case at the beginning of Ramadan. So I wanted to have a little bit of a test or a little bit of a check on the industry. So we're joined now by the CEO of dubicars.com. Craig Stevens has joined us live on the line and live on Microsoft Teams. Morning to you, Craig.
Good morning. How you doing?
Really good, my friend. Nice to have you with us as well. So beginning of Ramadan, we were told, look, don't come into our showroom looking for a deal. There ain't no deals to be had. In fact, don't come into our showroom unless you've got an appointment to get a new car, because we just can't get the cars into the showroom or into the country quick enough. Is it still the case?
I'm afraid so. Actually, I've got a bit of an echo on this. I'll just take my headphones out.
Okay, no worries at all. Yeah, We're wondering why that is still the case.
It's the same old issue, I'm afraid. I mean, there's an issue with supply because of the semiconductors, which we've spoken about before, and they just can't produce the cars fast enough. There's an issue around distribution and logistics because of the global supply issues. And there's an issue around manufacturers now who are closing down or certainly reducing their ability to produce internal combustion engines and focus on EVs. And all those things are coming together at just the wrong time for the market, to be fair. And that's why we're just short on supply.
Is this unique to 2022? Or do you think this will be the norm moving forward, that the days of the Ramadan deals have gone?
Look, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I really think the days of the Ramadan deals are done. I think, you know, if you think about why we, in this market specifically, had those deals, it's because, you know, cars were well-priced, dealers would stock the cars high and sell them cheap during Ramadan. They're not going to have that opportunity anymore. They're not going to be able to get that volume of stock, especially the transition that's going on in the marketplace at the moment. And I think also, to be fair to car dealers, you know, they kind of created this two-month market where people were buying in Ramadan at the end of the year. And I think they want to see a more consistent sales pattern throughout the year. So I don't think the dealers want to drive back to the old days of Ramadan deals either. So, yeah, I think unfortunately those days have gone.
What are the trends out there that you're noticing in the market that might might influence the market moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing some really big trends now. I mean, look, there's no doubt about it. There's still massive interest for consumers for a Ramadan deal. I mean, you know, you've talked about it now for weeks, you know, the pressure on consumer spending, increasing fuel, increasing car prices, increasing food, everything's increasing and everyone's looking to see where they can get a deal. And of course, a car is a big part of that. So demand is high. I mean, we're seeing, you know, almost record numbers in terms of people looking for Ramadan deals. But as you say, the offers are still out there. The second trend we're seeing is because of fuel prices, we're seeing a massive increase in V8s and V6s for sale that people are selling because they can't afford to keep the fuel bills going. So, I mean, we've seen a 50% increase in V8s for sale from private sellers in the last month alone, which is just incredible. So that's people now starting to shift their big engine vehicles and look for smaller vehicles. And in the EV market, you know, if I look back to the start of the year, demand for EVs has gone up 3x. So people now are really starting to think about moving into electric vehicles. So they're the kind of big trends that we're seeing in this market. In the US market, you know, some of the darlings of the stock market, like Kavana, that was trading at like $44 billion last year, is now trading at $16 billion. As investors start to be a bit more concerned about, you know, the future of online retailing for cars. So there's some huge trends going on in the market. And when you lay on electric vehicles on top of that, you can just see how this market is going to transition very quickly over the next 3 to 5 years.
Abdeslam has been in touch with us this morning on that very subject, the subject of EVs, saying that in his experience, local dealers haven't and refused to support imported EVs coming into the country as well. He wants to know from you, Craig, what's the deal and why is it a fair comment from Abdeslam that we are lagging behind when it comes to EVs at the moment?
We're definitely lagging behind. There's no doubt about that. And I think that's because, you know, there hasn't really been the drive that we've seen in other countries like the UK, but they've made it very clear that it's going to be, you know, electric vehicles only within the next 5 years that are for sale. So we haven't seen government really drive electric vehicle sales. And the benefits of buying an electric vehicle aren't as clear as what they have been in, say, America or Europe. So, yeah, we are lagging behind because we're not driving that. And I think the dealers also have struggled to secure electric vehicles for this region. So we're definitely behind, but I think we're going to catch up pretty quickly. And I think the challenge now is stock.
Talking of stock, another question coming through from someone who wishes to remain anonymous. Always a little bit worrying, but nonetheless, let's ask that question. Saying, Craig, but what about the thousands of new cars from various manufacturers that we see sat in parks in the desert in Alawir? What's the story there?
If that person could tell me where those cars are, we'd be delighted because that's just not the case. I mean, that was the case. That exactly was the case. That just isn't the case anymore. And, you know, stocks have dwindled because, you know, realistically, to get a used car, it has to start as a new car. And new car sales now have not just been down because of COVID and supply issues, but new car sales have been dropping in this region for 5 years. So there just is a lack of quality used car supply. So, yeah, we're just not seeing that at the moment. Those deserts are not full of cars.
We've got about 30 seconds with you, Craig. I mean, let's just look ahead towards the rest of this year. Are we going to be in the same situation come the end of 2022?
Yeah, I mean, we are. I mean, look, we're hearing some positive news about supply, but I just don't think it's going to rapidly change in the next sort of 7 or 8 months. So I think we're going to be in a pretty similar situation. I don't think we're going to see great deals on new cars. I think used car prices are going to remain pretty high. I think that you're going to have to wait for your car. It doesn't matter what car it is. I think you're going to have to wait for it for 3, 6, 9 months. And I think, you know, consumers are going to have to find other areas to save money because I don't think it's going to come from the automotive industry anytime soon.
Look after your car, service it remotely, service it whenever you can, and you'll be in good stead. Craig, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much indeed for joining us. Craig Stevens is the CEO of dubbycars.com, joining us live on the line, talking about the current automotive market.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.